Again, good morning. It is good to see you on this beautiful rainy day. Several years ago, I came across a Christmas quiz that I failed miserably. And so, kind of every year, I think, in some form or another, I give this. And I give you the opportunity to see how well you know the Christmas story. So, this last week, for Christmas Eve, we told the Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke, right? About Jesus' birth and all that. And so, what happens after that? And that's kind of the emphasis of these questions. So, I'm going to give you, I thought we'd start out and have a little fun this morning and do a little quiz. I'm going to ask you six questions, and you're going to have options that are going to be up on the screen. And so, we'll see how well you know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. So, you ready? Want to have some fun? All right, so question number one. What does the Bible say the innkeeper said to Mary and Joseph? There's no room in the inn. I have a stable you can use. Come back later, I should have some vacancies. Both A and B, or none of the above? Who says it's A? There's no room in the inn. You don't have to embarrass yourself. It's okay. The answer is E. The Bible mentions nothing about an N. As a matter of fact, in first century Bethlehem, there probably wasn't an N. And when Mary and Joseph show up in Bethlehem, they're turned away by their family. It wasn't trying to go to the Super 8. It was trying to show up at the Super Family. And nobody in the family had room for them. And so they've knocked on doors and they went around town looking for a family, a relative, somebody to stay with. But there was no room for any of them until one allowed them to stay in their stable. Number two, who saw the star in the east? The shepherds, Mary and Joseph, the three kings, both A and C, or none of the above? And the answer is E. None of the above, because the Bible doesn't tell us they were kings. It's a trick question. They weren't kings. Question number three, is anybody failing miserably? Everybody got them all right so far? Some of you guys. Number three, in Matthew, what does wise men or magi refer to? Men of the educated class, Eastern kings, men who studied the stars, or sages? And the answer is C, men who studied the stars. They were astrologers. Now, if you picked A, I'll give you that one, because they were men of the educated class. They were considered the philosophers and the professors of the day. They studied astronomy. They studied the stars. It does not tell us anywhere that they were kings. Question number four. How many were there? How many wise men? E, we don't know. It doesn't tell us. It just says that wise men showed up. Doesn't tell us there were three of them. Why do we think there's three? Because of the gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We just think, people think there's three. And actually, you know why most people think there's three? We three kings of Orient are. How much of what we know about the Bible is from songs or from Scripture? Question number five. Where did the wise men find Jesus? In a manger, in a stable, in Nazareth, in Saudi Arabia, in a house, or none of the above? In a house. In a house. In Luke's narrative, Jesus is a baby. When we get to Matthew, Jesus is a little boy. Best estimates have him somewhere between 12 and 24 months of age. And it tells us they found him and his parents in a house. So question number six, when the wise men found Jesus, he was, I'll give you the answer, B, a young child. So why do we do this? Because I want us to be people who are informed and transformed by God's word more than by Christmas songs. I want us to be a people who know God's word, who believe God's word, who put our trust and hope and faith in the God behind that word. The God who we may be weak, but he is strong. And that's why I want to encourage you that we've got to be a people who are in the book, a people who study God's word. That's why I did a little plug at the beginning to help you to think about where might there be a place where you could grow in your relationship with Christ. The latest studies tell us that only 20% of Christians today are involved in any form of formal Bible study. 20%. See, here's the reality. If you're not growing in your relationship with Christ, you're missing out. You're missing out on the goodness and the greatness and the grace of the greatest story ever told. The story of a God who loves us so much that at just the right time, he stepped out of heaven and stepped into time and space so we could step literally out of time and space and step into heaven and experience the abundant life that he has. And so I want to encourage you to find a place in 2016 to get plugged in, to find a place where you can grow in your relationship with God. So that's kind of the first reason why I want to just have some fun, and I wanted us to think about where most of what we know about the Christmas story comes from. But the third thing is I wanted to continue the story. I wanted us to read about what happens after the birth of Jesus. What happens when the wise men show up? And what happens, and what do they do, and what do they bring? And this morning I want to talk about what does it mean to shine our gifts. Over the last few weeks, we have been in a message series that I've just simply titled Shine. What you give is what you get. And we've been looking at what does it mean for us as followers of Jesus to shine out in the world that is so dark. On Thanksgiving, we looked at what does it mean to shine generosity. That as the people of God who worship the most generous God, we should be the most generous people. And so the encouragement was for us to look at our lives and say, how are we as the people of God, how generous are we and how generous should we be? Then we looked at what does it mean to shine gratitude. Actually, that was gratitude first. Then we looked at generosity. So how do we give thanks to God who gave us all things, and how are we generous for the God who gave us all things? We looked at what does it mean to shine grace, that as the people of God, we should be the most extravagant extenders of grace of anybody. We looked at what does it mean to shine goodness, to do good things, to look at our God who is so good to us, and what does it mean for us to shine goodness into our world? I had to tell you, a really cool thing happened last week is one of our newest little young men, James, where are you, buddy? Is it James who gave it to me? Jaden, I'm sorry. Jaden, he gave me this cool list of good things he did every day in response to that message. Parents, take a cue. And it's simple stuff, how he helped his sister, how he helped his uncle, how he helped make a Christmas breakfast for his family. All that cool stuff, that we have the opportunity to shine goodness into our world. On Christmas Eve, we looked at what does it mean to shine Christ, to be that beacon of hope into the world. Well, today we're going to look at what does it mean to shine gifts. And we're going to use the story of the wise men bringing their gifts as kind of the springboard for two things I want to talk about this morning, and just two things only. But before we get there, let's read the continuing story from Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 11. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people, Israel. Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time that the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Three of the most expensive, precious gifts that they could bring to the king. You and I have gifts as well. And I'm not talking just financial gifts, though those are important. Because the reality is, Scripture tells us where our treasure is, there our heart will be. And so the Bible has a lot to talk about money, but that's not what we're going to talk about today. I want to talk about gifts. I want to talk about what does it mean for you and I to position ourselves to give back as we have been given with our gifts. There's a saying, and maybe you've heard this. I have a confession to make. I've actually said this. I've actually said this, and I've been reading it over and over and over in preparation for today, and I've come to some new realizations about it. I wonder if you've ever heard this. God is not interested in your ability. He's interested in your availability. Have you heard that before? I've used that one. God is not interested in your ability, but he's really interested in your availability. And so the question I want to ask you this morning, when you read that statement, is that statement true or false? Look at your bulletin notes. Circle. Is it true or false? What do you believe about that statement? Is God interested in your ability? I'm sorry, is God more interested in your availability than he is your ability? True or false? Again, confession time. I used to say this, and I've come to believe it's false. It's false. It's not true. God is interested in our ability, and God is interested in our availability. As a matter of fact, I would go so far as to say that God is equally interested in both. He's equally interested in both our abilities and our availabilities. And we're going to just look briefly this morning at why. And so as I told you, this message has two points. Two points. The first, God is equally interested in our availability. God is interested in our time. God is interested in our passions. He is interested in our priorities. He's interested in our presence, not the presence that we give, that our presence in that relationship that we're in with him. In Romans 12, 1, one of those pivotal passages in the entire book of Romans, the Apostle Paul encourages us with these words. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done to you, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." In other words, what is worship? It's being available to God and giving back to God your availability. It's making time for God. And quite honestly, I can't think of a better time to reflect on this when we are post-Christmas, looking forward to the new year, as we all begin to think about what are the things that we did in 2015 that we'd like to jettison? What are the things in 2015 that maybe we didn't do so well? where were the places and the things in 2015 that got more of our attention than they should have? What are the things in 2015 that didn't get our attention? What are the things in 2016 that need our attention? As we position ourselves on the end of one year and looking forward to the next year to say, what are my priorities for 2016 going to be? What are my passions going to be? What am I going to invest myself in? What are my priorities going to be? What am I going to put in my calendar in ink and not in pencil? Where is my, specifically my relationship with Christ, where's it going to grow? Where's it going to deepen? Where's it going to take root? Where's it going to be nurtured and fed? You know, when I was growing up, there was kind of a slogan like this. You might have remembered this as well. People saying, you know, it's not the quantity of time, but it's the quality of time. That's just as false. Because you can't get quality time without quantity time. And so I believe that God wants us to make ourselves available to him. And he wants us to give of ourselves back to him, our availability to him. That Joshua has put in this way. He said, choose today whom you will serve. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. So when you are positioning yourselves to look into 2016, who are you going to serve? What is going to be your priority for the new year? Where are you going to carve out time? Where are going to be those places that I would refer to as kind of the non-negotiables? They're like, you know, we're doing this. If you were here on Christmas Eve, and what a spectacular, fun Christmas Eve service we had. I shared with you that, like, I don't think I've ever missed a Christmas Eve worship service. That's like way before I was even a pastor. Because this is my favorite time of the year to just spend worshiping. And so the question again is your availability. Have you made yourself available? Have you chosen for yourself to be available for God? Because no one else will do it. You really are the master of your schedule, right? There's an expression that if we really want to know what people are like, show us their checkbook and show us their calendar. Because those two things most clearly define who we are. Where we spend our money and where we spend our time. But again, this is not a sermon on money, and I want it to be that. But I want us to look at our lives and say, okay, how have we made ourselves available to God? Because he is interested in our availability. He has so chosen to partner with us. We are referred to as his ambassadors. He has chosen us to make a difference in our world. But if we don't make ourselves available to him, then something of God's is missing. And so how available are you? See, God is equally interested in our availability as he is in our ability, as in our abilities, our unique combination of competencies. Those things that are sourced in our soul, those places that as we were made in his image that he's like, George, I'm giving you this. Greg, I'm giving you that. Shannon, I'm giving you this. Jenny, I'm giving you that. And I'm gonna create you in such a way that you are going to have this unique, one-of-a-kind set of competencies that nobody else has to be used. We read in places like 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, where we're admonished, we're said, listen to these words. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. And then he's just going to give us a representative of a couple of them. Because we actually find spiritual gifts in lots of places. Galatians, Ephesians, 1 Corinthians, and several other places. But for example, he says, do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Well, do it with all your strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All power, all glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Gifts are something that we receive. And God has so chosen to give each of us unique gifts to be used to serve Him and to serve one another. And all of us are unique. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's masterpiece. That means we're one of a kind, unrepeatable, miracles of God, and there's no two alike. And we each have this unique set of abilities that God wants us to use to serve Him and to serve one another. And all of these gifts that we have, lest we think that we do it on our own, we're reminded that whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in heaven. And so here's the point. We each have availabilities and we have abilities. And God is equally concerned with both of them, that He wants us to be available to be used by Him, and He wants us to employ and deploy the gifts that He has given us for His glory, to serve Him and to serve others. Here's how I would summarize it. Here's the point of everything this morning, and it's this. Our gifts in God's hands can do great things. Our gifts in God's hands can do great things. See, here's the gift. God hands it to you, and He says, now you get to use this. And we get to place it back in His hands by our availability and by using that ability that He's given us to make a difference in our world. God's gifts, what He's given us, placed back in His hands, in other words, for His glory, not for ours, can do great things. So I want you to think for a minute. I want you to think about your availability, and I want you to think about your abilities. Where is your time right now? What are those unique abilities that God has given you to be used in service to Him, in service to one another? And how are you deploying that? The church is referred to the body of Christ. There's this amazing place in 1 Corinthians where Paul uses some cool language in here where he says, the hand can't say to the rest of the body, I don't need you. That's his way of saying that every gift made available for God is important. And if every gift is not being used, then something of God's is missing. And again, there's a wide variety of spiritual gifts. Speaking, singing, administration, leadership, craftsmanship, service, teaching, and the list goes on and on. That we can take the gifts that God has given us to use them, to deploy them, to employ them in the service of God to do great things. So if you've been around here for a while, let me just ask you, where are you making yourself available and using your abilities to serve God? If you're new here, by the way, we're glad that you're here. But here's what I want you to know, is that God has uniquely gifted you. He's uniquely gifted you. Nobody else has this gift mix that you do. Believe it or not, nobody else has it. And you have the opportunity to serve God by using the gifts that God has given you to make a difference in this world. A difference in the lives of other people. And every gift is important. We have people in our church who have this amazing gift of service. They're cleaning, they're straightening, they want this church to always look great when people walk in here. And that's an important gift. We have people in our church who play musical instruments and have voices to sing. And that is an important gift. We have folks who teach our little ones to know Jesus, and that is an important gift. We have folks in our church who teach our young people, our middle school and high school age students, to know Jesus, and that's an important gift. No gift is more important than another. Every gift has equal value. And so, here's the deal. God's gifts, our gifts, in God's hands, can do great things. So where are you in your availability and in your abilities right now? And if it's not where you want to be, or if it's not where you feel God calling you to be, then what do you need to do to get there starting in 2016? Every gift is important, and we need every gift. So God is equally interested in our availability and our ability. How are you going to start 2016? How are you going to start? Let's pray. God, your word makes clear to us that you are concerned both with our availability in making ourselves to be useful and to be used by you, as you are with our abilities, because all these gifts, all these talents, all these abilities that we have ultimately come from you. That you, who are our creator, has so created each and every one of us uniquely, and you have given us these gifts, and you want us to use them. You want us to deploy them for you. And so, God, I just want to pray that for each one of us, God, maybe as we stand on this side of 2016 and look to the new year, that, God, you would help us to maybe just do some reflection and say, God, where have I been and where do I need to be? Where do you want me to be? And how can I take steps to move in that place where I might grow in my relationship with you and that I might grow in my relationship with others? God, you have called us to a daunting task. You have called us to be your ambassadors, to be your representatives in this world. You have called us to make your name known. And your word teaches us and reveals to us that you are the answer to everything that's wrong in our world. And so, Lord, I want to pray for each and every one of us in here this morning, God, that you would stir in us, that you would just stir in us some questions. Where have we been and where are we now? Where is it that you want us to be? Lord, where are the opportunities that we have to step into the abundant life that you have for us? Where are the opportunities that we have to make a difference in this world by using the gifts and talents and the abilities that you have given us? And then, Lord, I pray that whatever it takes, God, that you would encourage us to take that step of faith, to do what Joshua says, to choose this day who we're going to serve, and that we'd serve you to the glory that your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. And so, God, help us. Help us to make ourselves available to be used by you, for your purposes. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.